We're going to begin in the ancient way, if we could, a pule kako, a ku, a lono, a kane, a kanaloa, a hoi, a iho ana oluna, a piiana olalo, a huiana namoku, a kuana kapaia, a olamimako, a olamimako, home kamana, kaike, ke ola no, amama. Ai noho ana ke akua I kana hele hele. I ala I a I te te o hua hua a ua koko. E I na kino malui kalani. Malue hoi e ho ulu mai ana o kane I kona kahu. O au 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 noa. Uaikea.
Noho ana uli ka ulu vehi vehi ku ana I mau he la ia. O hai ku I mau maloa aloha mai ka ula na ula. He ia ka ula la he mohai he makana na uia o e. Noho ana uli ka ulu vehi vehi, noho ana uli ka ulu vehi vehi,
Ai, ho'opuke kala mā kahikina. Ho pukai kalama kahikina, kahua kahi hele no tumutahi, haamai naiva mehi iaka, tapolaka ika ulu vehi vehi, nehi mai naiva maku uala, ho ino e te tapu mena ali iye. E ola mako a maulo ala e ala e ala e a a I e I le I e I e I e
Hei inoa no ma kahikina.
So welcome to our Huna morning.
Well, the tradition, the ancient tradition says that if you chant a chant and you chant it well, it's okay, but if you don't chant it well, you're struck by lightning.
I figure any chant we survive is a good chant. I think. Well, was that a noise that you heard upstairs?
Yeah. The gods answered.
Wow. How funny.
So we talked the other day when we had our Huna introduction about the importance of energy and how energy is responsible for basically everything that we do, everything that we are, everything that we have in our lives. We talked about the importance of the energy in relationships, and we said that all relationships are based on energy. We also mentioned briefly that one of the ways to increase the level of energy in the body is through breathing. Now you may say, but we're breathing all the time. The truth is that when the white folks got to Hawaii,
they called them howlies.
They were called howlies.
Ha, meaning breath.
Ha means breath.
Oli, meaning no.
So the Hawaiians would look at the white folks, you know, and think, what are these people doing? They don't even breathe.
Because before the Hawaiians would do anything important, they'd sit together and they'd breathe, sometimes for as much as 6 hours. They'd breathe together.
Now imagine what that would do report-wise. It will build rapport between them. It will build pace and leading. And it will synchronize them. And it will synergize them. And after about 6 hours of breathing together, then they'll have their meeting. And they'll talk their differences, and what they noticed is that if they would sit together and breathe together before they would even start their meeting, there'll be no differences. They could solve all their apparent oppositions very easily, chunk up, in other words, to a higher logical level easier and solve all their differences in a very peaceful and constructive way. Because everywhere you have an opposition, everywhere you perceive something that doesn't go your way, the truth is that, number one, it's just a projection, and Hawaiians knew that. And number two, you can chunk higher up to a place to where the two oppositions are united. Therefore, we thought, why don't we this morning experience a Hawaiian type of breath, the breath that Hawaiians would use when they would do these meetings together. And we're not going to breathe together for 6 hours. Would be nice, but that means no class today.
So when the first white folks arrived there in Hawaii, the Hawaiians were actually shocked that they didn't breathe. I mean, there was no evidence of them breathing. Because the Hawaiians would go, and the white folks would just start talking without breathing, and they'd go, well, these guys don't have any breath. It wasn't their fault, actually, that when the very first white folks arrived in Hawaii, they blew in by boat. You may know the guy that, quote, discovered Hawaii. His name was Captain Cook. Yeah, Cook, Captain Cook. And you know where he landed? I don't know if you guys know this. He landed at Captain Cook, Hawaii, on the Big Island of Hawaii. Funny, I wonder if that place was, if they knew he was coming or what. That's a joke. He actually arrived at Kealakekua Bay, not Captain Cook, Hawaii. And he was met by some Hawaiians, and he said to these guys, he said, hey, where do you live? You know, what's this place called? And they said, Hawaii. Now, the sailors wrote it down wrong, but you can write it down right. Hawaii. And so they said, okay. So they wrote, this island is called Hawaii. And then they got on the boat and they blew over toward Hilo, a town on the other side of the big island of Hawaii. And they said, hey, bud, where do you live? And the first Hawaiian they saw, and he said Hawaii. So they said, okay, this whole island must be named Hawaii. Then they blew over to Kauai, which is one of the more western islands, got off the boat in Kauai, stopped the first Hawaiian they saw and said, hey, bud, where do you live? And he said, Hawaii. So they named the entire island chain Hawaii, but they missed the point. And the point is that what the Hawaiian was saying was, ha means breath. Vai means water, but wherever the word vai appears in esoteric circles, the word for vai means life force energy. It means mana. It means the chi of tai chi, or the ki in Aikido. And e means supreme. So what the Hawaiian was saying to the sailor, who had absolutely no capability of understanding what the Hawaiian was saying based on the sailor's level of consciousness, was he was saying, I live in the supreme life force that rides on the breath. So when the sailors actually looked at that, they couldn't comprehend what in the world was going on. It's kind of funny, the missionaries arrived, you know, in 1820. And they immediately decided that they were going to be in charge of preserving the Hawaiian antiquities. I don't know who put them in charge. But all of the Hawaiian history is now preserved by the Bishop Museum, which is interesting. And it went like this. They had a meeting of all the Hawaiians and the missionaries, and they were going to decide, first of all, let's get down the Hawaiian history, and where did you guys come from to the Hawaiians? And the Hawaiians said, we came from Tahiti. Or Kahiki, Tahiti. It was probably pronounced like Tahiti. And the missionary said, "Okay, so you came from the island of Tahiti." And a couple of the Hawaiians said, "Well, yes and no, because Tahiti also means the light. And so we came here from the light." And the missionary said, "No, that's not possible. You can't come from the light. So you must have come from Tahiti." And the Hawaiian said, well, not really. We came from the light. And the missionary said, no. The island of Tahiti. And the Hawaiian said, no, the light. And at the end of the day, the missionaries put their foot down and they said, okay, it's the island of Tahiti and that's it. And overheard walking out of the meeting on that very first day were supposedly two elderly Hawaiian women who looked at each other and said, well, if they can't get the thing about the light right, there's not much else we can tell them. And so, for the most part, the Hawaiian history is written about birds and flowers and kahunas who did evil things. And that's not the Hawaiian history. Most of what's written for Hawaiian history was written by missionaries hoping to discredit the Hawaiian system.
Or at the level of their understanding of Hawaiian tradition.
Now, I said that one day, and a woman in my training came up to me afterward and said, do you know who I am? And I said, well, I know your name. And she said, no, but I'm the descendant of the blah, 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 the great, she was a white person, a descendant of the missionaries. And she said, no, you know, not all the missionaries were that bad. And I said, no, you saved a good portion of Hawaii for yourselves. Because today, 80% of the land is owned by missionary families and missionary trust. And there's only about 10,000 pure-blooded Hawaiians. So, yeah. So if you consider this, take this with you from today, that Hawaii is not just a place in the middle of the Pacific, but it's a place that the Hawaiians knew is inside you. Because the supreme life force rides on the breath inside you. Remember that. Take that with you. Hawaii is not just a place in the middle of the Pacific. It's not just a bunch of islands with, you know, hula girls dancing the hula and Mai Tais. It is actually a place inside of you wherein resides all the energy you'll ever need. And just one more thought, and then we're going to breathe. Huna's original name, before Huna was called Huna, it was called Ho'omana. Ho'o means to make. And mana means life force energy. Taken together, the word ho'omana means to empower. Because the Hawaiians thought that if you had low levels of energy, you were sick. If you had high levels of energy, you were healthy.
In fact, their philosophy of life was kind of simple.
Very simple.
If there is something that doesn't do good to your body, stop doing it. Just don't do it anymore. If you eat something and you don't feel good, stop eating that. If you drink something doesn't do you good.
And if it reduces your energy.
And it reduces your body's energy, stop doing that.
Now, what do we do in our society? We do actually the opposite, don't we? Like, if you can find something that blows out your energy, makes you feel like shh, the next morning, you say you had a good day. That's called booze, yeah? So most people go out, get totally roaring drunk. So then they wake up the next morning, and they feel like hell. And somebody says, did you have a good time last night? They go, yeah, man, I feel like today. I must have had a good time. I'm not sure. But so what we do in our Western society is exactly the opposite of what the ancient Hawaiians used to do.
Because they said it's something good for you. It's something that increases your body's energy. Do more of that.
So we're going to breathe. No, we're not going to breathe for 6 hours. we'll just breathe for a few minutes.
That'd be interesting to breathe for 6 hours in this way. The most we've done, how much did you do?
Four.
Four?
Yeah.
Most I did was 2.5.
It's good, though. It's good. 4 hours is good to do. So we breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth with the sound. And we'll breathe together in unison. Just so you can get the timing right, the timing is 1-2 ratio. 1 count in-breath, 2 counts out-breath. Now, this particular technique was known to the emperor and his staff in China. It was very, very part of a qigong, very, very secretly part of a qigong type of breathing, and it was actually outlawed. It was against the law in ancient China to take this out. In fact, the person who brought it out was killed for bringing out the information into the world. And yet, in Hawaii, everybody knew about the ha breath.
Now, while we do this, pay attention to what's going on inside your body. So, turn your attention inward. And pay attention to the kinesthetic internal, what's happening. Also, you may experience after a while, it's possible that you may experience a bit of lightheadedness. if that happens, just stop for a minute or so, 30 seconds, and then join in again.
If you get...
Or if you start yawning.
Lightheaded or hyperventilation.
Or hyperventilation.
Yes. Yes. Or whatever.
Ish.
If you start feeling funny.
Yeah, good.
Just take a break. Okay, so we'll breathe together doing the ha breath.
Thank you.
welcome back. How was that? Do you guys feel differently? Differently? You feel different now? Yeah, very relaxing breath. Yeah.
Now my question is, as you look in the room, is anybody having a feeling that the room's had got a tint, a bluish tint? Uh-huh, not quite focused. Yeah? And how many people experienced a change or a shift in energy inside? Cool.
Good.
That's a very, very nice breath. For those of you who meditate, that's a nice breath to do before or even while you meditate. Because after a while, you do it automatically. You get into a rhythm. And you don't have to think of it. You just do it automatically. So it's wonderful while you meditate because it's a very soothing, very calming state.
Yeah. Next is a process called Ho'oponopono.
This is one of the most important processes for the people of ancient Hawaii because they realized that every relationship with people that's not set in the right order or that's not complete or that's not allowing the energy to flow in integrity or that leaks energy out of you in an improper way had to be somehow, that relationship had to be somehow reorganized and set in new order.
The ancient kahunas believed that we carry inside of us, as parts of us, all the people we ever connected to, all the people we ever contacted, all the people we ever touched. And the mechanics of that connection was the aura. You know, you've seen a Kirlian. How many people have seen a Kirlian photography picture? And what you see is you see a something around the body. The aura was thought to be made up of etheric substance called aka. The Hawaiian word is aka, A-K-A. Now, one of the things is that the aka was thought to be sticky. So if I touch something, or if I touch someone, what happens is when we draw back our hands, you can actually see the connectedness between the two. Now, what's interesting is not the fact that we connect, because I think it's good to connect to people, but what's interesting is that most people keep connected long after they probably ought not to be. We don't have any mechanics for this in Western society for, you know, getting rid of or letting go of unwanted connections. But the Hawaiians did this regularly. Morna Simeon was a great kahuna. I met her very late in her life, and what she did was she felt it was important to cut all of your aka connections with everyone and everything every day. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should do that, but she did that every single day, and she felt that it moved her closer to spirit. She felt it moved her closer to spirit. So she would simply disconnect from every connection that she had made. Now, what's wrong with making connections? Again, nothing. But the problem is that if you have a lot of connections, then what happens is your energy is scattered.
There are two components, the quality of energy and the quantity of energy. So you may connect with people just by walking outside on the street or walking into a supermarket store or when you work.
How many people have ever gone to a hospital and walked out feeling really icky and you hadn't touched anyone or anything?
And yet it felt like, ooh.
Because there's energy in different places, and in places where there's intense energy, sometimes there are energetic bubbles left there, which are called thought forms. They're just bubbles of energy, which, if you've ever gone to a hospital, and what did you want to do after you walked out of the hospital and feeling icky? Take a shower.
Yeah.
By the way, taking a shower is a really decent way to do this, but it doesn't always solve the problem. What we're about to do will solve that kind of problem. Have you ever met somebody? Who's ever met somebody and afterward you felt totally drained? Hoover. Yeah. That's because what happens is when you connected with them, you see the problem with the aka cord. You see, the aura is designed to keep energy in, But the problem is, once you're connected to the person, then that opens up the flow of energy between the two of you. So if there's connections that aren't serving you, your energy simply could go out. That's one possibility. Even in a situation where energy is added to you, it may be an energy of a lower vibration than what you want. And when we're doing healing work, we always have the person cut their own Akka cords or do their own Ho'oponopono on a regular basis to bring their own energy back into integrity for their healing process. Because if we have all of our energy in integrity for healing, then it's all available for us rather than going out the Akka cords or going back and forth.
This is very important.
The energy is not going to be as clean if it goes back and forth.
Now, this is very important when you will do any physiological work with your future clients, especially if you work on a disease which is life-threatening as cancer or anything of a serious nature. You have to understand that in order to heal, the person has to have the energy available for them.
To heal themselves.
At least for a while, there is nothing more important in their life but themselves, because they need to have all the energy available for healing. So that's also the issue of quantity of energy. Some people have more energy, some people have less energy naturally. That's nothing good or bad with that. This is how it is. Now, if you are connected with somebody which has a lower energy in the body, and you remain connected to them, that the energy will flow out of you into them. The same principle as of communicating, in chemistry, when you did in high school, you had two
beakers
interconnected. One of them was higher, one of them was lower, and the liquid would go from the higher one into the lower one. The same principle applies here. So the one with more energy would give energy to the one with low energy. That's okay, if you choose to do so. But if you connected with somebody in the past, then you simply don't have the need to be connected with that person anymore. That means the energy is just flowing maybe out of you or to you, but...
without purpose.
Yeah.
And the more connections you have, of course, the more taps that are open. And that can be a problem, although it doesn't have to be. But here's an example. One of our NLP trainers in New York called me one time and she said, I'm just exhausted. I see 10 clients a day and I'm exhausted. I said, are you cutting your connections at the end of the day? She said, no, I'm not. I said, well, do that. She called me a week later. She said, I have all the energy I need. So if you see a lot of people on a daily basis and you touch them at all, here's how an Akka connection can be made. A connection can be made if you touch them, for sure. If you are in their presence, it's possible.
If you're in their presence or in rapport with them, for sure.
It's possible.
Deep rapport.
For sure, rapport. If you take a phone call from them, it's possible. If they think of you or you think of them with a strong thought, especially a thought with emotion, love or hate.
A thought with emotion. Negative emotion or positive emotion.
It's probably going to be made. And even if you think of them, it's possible that it could be remade. Those are the ways that Akka connections get made, according to ancient tradition. Now... How do we cut Akka connections? The way we cut Akka connections, the word ho'o means to make, and by the way, pono means right. And when a word is doubled, as in ho'oponopono, it means to make it really right. So what we're going to do we're going to construct a stage and invite some people to come to the stage. We'll talk you through the people, but basically it'll be everybody in your life.
And the idea is to construct the stage in the same position as you were to be in position number 3 over the timeline. When you do timeline therapy, as you are in position number 3 and you look down,
more or less like if we were sitting here,
yeah,
we'd be looking down at a 45 degree angle,
and the stage would be down there.
Stage would be below us and in front of us, like that. Now, so we're going to invite some people to come to the stage. You can choose who you want to remain connected to, and the question may come up, well, should I cut my connections with everybody? Well, what about people I don't want to lose connection with? That's all your choice.
Even people you don't want to lose connection with, you can cut the connections. See, parents are a very good example. Parents keep thinking of their children as they used to be when the children were 5 or 7 or 10 or 12.
Yeah, here's the child. He or she is
55.
And mom still calls him my little boy or little girl.
Now, if you cut connections with everybody and you remake them immediately with people you choose to be connected to, then you will see them as who they are now.
This is especially,
rather than who they used to be in the past.
This is especially good in the case of codependent relationships. In couple counseling, when we're doing couple counseling, we actually have them cut the connections
with
on a regular
past.
Basis. With the past person,
with
the person they used to be, and then remake it as the person now, so that you can see the person for who they are. Has anybody ever read any Carlos Castaneda? Who's read Carlos Castaneda? And in the one of the things that Don Juan said to Carlos, you have to erase your personal history because people's opinions of who you used to be can keep you stuck. Now, that's not true. You don't have to erase your personal history, but the mechanics of people keeping you stuck is the AKA connection. How many people have ever gone to a great training or totally transformed themselves, and then you went home and the people at home were looking at you like you were the same old person? Isn't that weird? This is the way to get beyond that. Because what it does is metaphorically, it says, okay, all the ways that everybody outside me used to view me, based on my projections, by the way, it's still your projection, but all the ways that people outside me used to view me, let's cut those ways and so that I can stand in my own light now anew as to who I am. So Ho'oponopono is very powerful for having you stand in your new light, who you are in the moment now, not who you used to be last week or to your parents, you know, when you were 12. Now you're you. Let's look at the process. The process is we construct a stage and we invite some people to come. And the first thing we do is we imagine an infinite source of love and healing above the top of our head. Imagine an infinite source of love and healing above the top of your head. Open up the top of your head and let that infinite source of love and healing, not now, we're not doing it now, but when we do it, allow that infinite source of love and healing to flow down inside you and fill up your whole body, all the way down from the top of the head to the tips of your toes. When that infinite source of love and healing fills up your body, then let it overflow out your heart and heal up the people on the stage. That's the first step, healing. Using the infinite source of love and healing. Second step is forgiveness. And in this case, you forgive them and they forgive you. Now, I know there's nothing for you to forgive that son of a bitch for. You know, the one that, you know,
really
you know the
ugliest projection, yeah?
That person, yeah? I know there's nothing for you to forgive that person for. However, if perception really is projection, you could beg for forgiveness for causing them to act out in such a terrible way toward you. I'm sure they didn't want to play that role either.
Ooh.
And then the third thing is you cut the connections. You can imagine a knife or a blade or even your fingers going, and you cut the connections, the AKA connections, if you can see them, and bring the nearest part of them toward into you. Now, the question is, do you only cut with people who are alive? No, especially people who are dead, you should cut the connection with. Teneo Sanz Kumalai, when she was dying, she lay dying in the hospital in 1980. She's one of the great kahunas whose work we teach. She lived in New York, trained in Honolulu, but lived in New York for most of her life teaching huna. And when she was dying in the hospital, she said, she called all of her students together and she said, when I go, I don't want you to mourn after me. I don't want you to weep for me because you might keep me here and I don't want to stay. So sometimes by holding on to a person who's gone, we can keep them here longer than they should be. Now, whether you cut the connection or not is up to you, but if you keep someone here, that takes your energy to keep them here. It requires energy for someone to stay here after they've departed. So it's totally up to you, but if you're ready, you can let go of the person and hold on to the positive memories, and that's a better way to do it. So we cut the AKA connections, and what that does is it brings all of our own energy back into integrity, totally into integrity.
Now, Ted mentioned briefly before, but there is a special category we are going to talk about during the process, and that's called thought forms. Now, what's a thought form? When you have a thought, especially a repetitive thought in your mind.
A strong thought.
A strong thought that's backed up by emotions. Then you can create in your aura that thought as appearing a separate entity, like a separate entity, an energetic entity that's attached to your aura. As you brush against other people, they
or
may pick
things.
It up from you. Or the good example is the hospital example, because people have very strong thoughts and repetitive thoughts in hospital, and they are high emotions too. So this is why I used to be one of these person. I would go in a hospital to visit somebody, but the moment I'll enter, I will feel tired, I will feel emotionally low, and it would be like a weight on my shoulders. That's how I would feel. And I could never understand what's happening. And the fact is that I would pick up these energies and I would take them with me. So one of the categories, and we'll guide you through it, will be the thought forms. And actually their job is to evolve themselves too, rather than stick onto your aura or stay around, because every thought you might have had in your life has evolved since.
Exactly, yes. So the process for letting go of the thought forms that you may have picked up, by the way, sometimes they can even act like parts, those thought forms, yeah. The process for letting them go is Ho'oponopono.
Now, the most important part of this process is number two, where it's written forgiveness. The Hawaiians say to forgive and not to forget is not to forgive at all.
How interesting.
So to say, yeah, I forgive you, but next time I get mad, I'll remind you that you did this to me, and I'll keep this in my memory for the rest of my life, and I'll make you remember.
And I'll bring it up every time we have a fight, and I'll remind you over and over again what a shit you were.
No, that's not forgiveness.
That's not forgiveness. Oh, yeah, sure, I forgive you.
Things
yeah.
happen. People have arguments. People have differences of opinion. That's okay. It's part of the process called life. No, to hold on to that means to hold negative emotions, first of all, you know that. Second thing is to not allow this to evolve itself is to keep it stuck there. Therefore, there is no possibility for further development.
Exactly.
And the paradox is, because of perception's projection, we know that some person played a certain role in your life, some outside person. However, it's your projection. Therefore, the paradox is that all we're asking you to do here is to forgive yourself.
Again, the ancients believed that we carry inside of us, as parts of us, all the significant people, especially, and probably a lot of the others, who we were or have been connected. The process of Ho'oponopono is to let go of those connections and to simply let those people go so that, one, we can be ourselves inside ourselves, yeah, rather than someone else. Yeah, so that's what the process of Ho'oponopono is about. We also recommend that you cut your connections with pets that are no longer with you and people who are no longer with you if they did not agree prior to their death that they would provide a guidance function for you. In some traditions, there's an agreement that a person, will, like a grandmother, will stay on and as a spirit provide guidance for the younger person, usually the grandson or granddaughter, will have a grandmother spirit working with them, especially in the Native American tradition. Unless that agreement exists, probably you ought to cut your connection. Again, it's up to you what you do. If you were to ask me, I would say cut your connection. So on a regular basis, a couple could cut the Aka connection and then remake it right away. It's easy for him to say. A couple could, on a regular basis, cut the Aka connections and then remake it right away. And then what that will do is it'll allow you to see the person for who they are today rather than who they were last week or last month. Or
yeah, in the same view, it's a good idea to cut all the connections with all exes, all partners, because otherwise, especially if you were intimately connected, so you had sex together, it's a very strong energetical connection there, and if you don't cut it, the energy will remain flowing between you two.
So you'll be supplying energy to your ex.
Which will act detrimentally in your new relationship.
I had therapy with a woman in Holland who complained that every time she had sex with her partner, she could see all of his exes. Very scary. I said, well, I have to see your partner. You have to do Ho'oponopono with him. So, yeah, it's possible that a person could carry with them all kinds of people. So let's begin. Why don't you construct a stage? Below you and in front of you. And we're going to invite some people to come to the stage. We'll begin with your parents.
Your mom and your dad.
Anyone who acted like a parent toward you? Step-parents? Or aunts and uncles who played a prominent role in your life?
Maybe even grandparents that acted like parents.
Have them come to the stage. Now, the minute someone comes to the stage, you can begin the infinite source of love and healing.
So imagine an infinite source of love and healing.
Above the top of your head.
And open the top of your head and allow that infinite source of love and healing to come inside.
As the infinite source of love and healing comes inside you, it heals you up rather quickly because it is quite infinite. It
fills up your body.
As it fills up your body, let it overflow out your heart and begin to heal up the people on the stage. Now, you know the people on the stage are healed, just intuitively.
As they come on the stage, ask them a question.
The question as they come to the stage is, are you totally willing to support my magnificence and my experience of expansion of consciousness? If the answer is yes, of course, and you feel it's congruent, you can thank them and let them go, unless you're cutting Akka connections with everyone, in which case have them remain on the stage. If the answer is no, then you probably would want these people to remain on the stage. Next is brothers and sisters. Anyone who acted like a brother or a sister, to you. Any cousins or even aunts or uncles that I could think of, you could act like a brother or sister to you.
Even good friends.
Good friends who were like...
That you called brother.
Oh, yes, he's my brother. Sister. Have them be on the stage.
And when they come on the stage, ask them a question. And the question is,
are you totally willing to support my magnificence and my experience of expansion of consciousness?
If the answer is yes, thank them.
Thank them, let them go. Unless you're cutting connections with everyone, in which case have them remain on the stage.
And if the answer is no, for sure, have them remain on the stage.
Okay, next is grandparents. Anyone who acted like a grandparent, both sides of the family, whether you knew them or not, have them come to the stage. And the question is, are you totally willing to support my magnificence
and my experience of expansion of consciousness today?
Remember to keep that infinite source of love and healing flowing to everyone on the stage.
That's something you can assign to your unconscious mind to do while you consciously talk to the people.
Next is all other relatives. Any relatives you knew or didn't know.
Other cousins. Aunts.
Ancestors you've heard about. And as they come to the stage, begin the infinite source of love and healing and remember to ask the question, are you totally willing to support my magnificence?
And my experience of expansion of consciousness today.
If the answer is yes, you can let them go unless you're cutting connections with everyone. Or if the answer is no,
then have them remain on the stage.
Next is friends. Friends when you were growing up. Friends when you were...
Old friends. Childhood friends.
Friends, friends you've lost track of.
All friends. You can invite also close acquaintances. People you're not quite friends, but you're in good terms with.
Actually, anyone who's no longer in your life, of course, will probably want to remain on the stage. And the question as your friends come to the stage is, are you totally willing to support my magnificence and my experience of expansion of consciousness today?
If the answer is yes, thank them. You can even give them a hug if you want to. And let them go unless you cut connections with everybody, in which case, have them remain on the stage.
And if the answer is no, have them remain on the stage. Next is boyfriends and girlfriends, spouses, exes, ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends, ex-bo- whoa, the stage got a lot bigger. Whew. Fortunately, the Olympic Stadium is available. So you can put all the people in there. Now, as your exes come to the stage, thank them for coming.
And ask them the question, are you totally willing to support my magnificence and my experience of expansion of consciousness today?
If the answer is yes, thank them. And you can let them go unless you're cutting connections with everyone, in which case have them remain on the stage. Or if the answer is no, then you should definitely have them remain on the stage. Begin the infinite source of love and healing each time someone comes to the stage. Next is business, acquaintances, contacts, bosses, and mentors.
People you work with, clients.
Teachers in the past, whether business or not.
Co-workers.
Old co-workers that you're not in contact with.
Even current co-workers.
Even current co-workers. Have them all come to the stage. As they do, thank them for coming. And ask them the question, are you totally willing to support my magnificence?
And my experience of expansion of consciousness?
If the answer is yes, thank them. You can let them go if you're not cutting connections with everyone. If the answer is no, or if you're cutting connections with everyone, have them remain on the stage. Next is anyone else your unconscious mind thinks ought to be there.
Anyone else you haven't thought of consciously. As well as people which are no longer in your life and people that are no longer alive.
As they come to the stage, you can begin the infinite source of love and healing. If your unconscious mind has brought this person to mind, you probably want to cut connections with them. So
you can bring in also...
No need to ask the question.
Your pets... living or no longer alive.
Finally, there's the class or category of thought forms that we talked about earlier. We'd like to have your unconscious mind do a search inside and make sure that any dark areas or missing areas, any areas that aren't you but are in you, in either your physical, emotional, mental, or possibly even in the spiritual body, that we have them come to the stage. As you do, begin the infinite source of love and healing. Now, what I'd like to say is to these thought forms, you are not Aumakua, you are Unihipili, and as Unihipili, we'd like to provide you with safe passage. We're going to provide a guide.
Because it's time for you to go and grow and evolve.
We're going to provide a one-time guide who will guide you to where you need to go.
Wherever you need to go to grow and evolve.
To grow and evolve. But
it's time for you to go.
You need to leave immediately. It is time for you to go. You are not Aumakua. You are Unihipili. And as Unihipili, we'd like to take you to the place where you need to go and grow and evolve.
And we will provide this one-time guide for you. And if you choose to take upon our offer, we'll provide you this guide to lead you. And if you don't, we can assure you we have far less comfortable ways.
We'll assist you in leaving in ways which may not be comfortable. Good. Now everyone's on stage. Many of them should be healed already, the infinite source of love and healing being infinite. So what you want to do is begin
the process of forgiveness. Which means you can simply ask the people on the stage, hey, do you forgive me? I forgive you. And you may simply be done this way.
If If it's that quick, then notice if they disappear. They'll probably disappear if they don't. Then you can cut any Aka connection between you and them and just let them go. The process is done when the stage is clear. When you're done, just kind of sit there in a meditative state because we're going to finish the process with a chant. That even while you're doing the forgiveness process. Now, by now, everyone on the stage should be healed. Is there anyone for whom that there are people on the stage who are not healed? Could you raise your hand so I could see it? Okay, if the person on the stage isn't healed, listen carefully. It's your resistance to healing them, and so all you need to do is reframe the part of you inside you, or reframe yourself in the process of healing. To not heal them is in direct conflict with the highest prime directive of the unconscious mind, which is to preserve the body. This process is in direct alignment with that prime directive. To not heal this person is in direct conflict with the highest prime directive of the unconscious mind, which is to preserve the body. In the process, while you have a discussion with this person, you need to have a discussion such that everything is said while you forgive them and they forgive you. So have that discussion wherein they forgive you and you forgive them, and then let them go. Okay. Is there anyone who doesn't have everyone on the stage totally healed? Could you raise your hand so I could see it? By now, the stage should also be clear. Is there anyone for whom the stage is not clear? As we finish up the process of Ho'oponopono, we'd like to share a chant with you, which is documented from prior to 1500 AD. So the legend goes that before the kahunas of ancient Hawaii knew how to heal, that there was no healing tradition in the Hawaiian Islands, but that there came from somewhere else. Of course, they said it was from Tahiti. There came a group of healers who were so powerful that the Hawaiians thought they were almost godlike. And the group of healers was called Alaneo. As they came to the Hawaiian Islands, they spread out and began to teach their healing skills to all of the kahunas in all of the islands. This particular chant asked the Alaneo to come back again and connect with us and bring us their healing energy. And the chant goes like this. It says,
"Hey Kanaka Loa,
I call the higher self. I call the unconscious mind. Now I make a call all the way upward for the Alaneo, and I ask him to make a close connection all the way to the heavens, all the way to me here on earth. Make that connection close and strong and fast and tight. As the connection is made, it raises my vibration of my body and my mind. And I enter into the supreme meditation, the meditation of the kahuna. It says, I call the higher conscious mind. I call the unconscious mind. Now I make a call all the way upward for the Alaneo. And I ask him to make a strong connection all the way to the heavens, all the way to me here on earth, and make that connection close and strong and fast and tight. As the connection is made, it raises the vibration of my body and mind, and I enter into the supreme meditation, the meditation of the kahuna. When the Alaneo's work was done, and they had left a very rich legacy of healing and spiritual development in the Hawaiian Islands, they departed, and as they departed the islands one by one, until the last four were left. The last four departed from the island of Oahu. where Honolulu is today located, from the area of Oahu known as Waikiki Beach, and the area of Waikiki known as Kuhio Beach. And as the last four Alaneo left, they turned their bodies into stone as a reminder for people that the healing power lies inside of you. Today there are four Alaneo stones on Kuhio Beach in Waikiki. And many people go there and many people accidentally touch the stones and accidentally are healed of their ailments. And thus reminded that the healing power lies inside of you.
We'll have the lights come off.
Here come the lights. Good.
How was that?
How was that? Was that bizarre? That's Huna. How many people felt energy during that process at all? Okay, good. You know what that means, don't you? You should come to Huna. No, because 90% of the people out there, you go energy, they go, huh? What the hell's that? They do.
Oh, well.
Anyway, welcome to Huna. We hope you enjoyed our little offering.
Yes.
We'd love to have you come and join us. I would love to teach you everything I know about esoteric healing and esoteric sciences, in which we do in our levels of Huna. By the time you finish level two, you'll be able to do what we call psychic surgery in the Philippines, and it's called higher self therapy in Huna. And we'll show you how to do that. So we'd love to have you come and join us. We just love Huna. Go look at our website if you want to see more pictures and more information about what we cover. But we'll share with you some very powerful healing techniques. And by the end of level two, we'll show you how to do higher self or kahuna healing. Very easy to do. And it's just a wonderful time. We'd love to have you there. Anyway, thanks for being here today.